The message today is the sword of Pilate, the tower of Siloam, and the axe of God. Luke 13, and let me read you the first 9 verses. Now there were some present at that very season who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said unto them, Think ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they have suffered these things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were offenders above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why doth it also come to the ground? And he answering saith unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, thenceforth well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that the portion that we read this morning occurred so long ago, and yet let us know its relevancy for today. Indeed, the Word of God is living, and we are thankful the way that thou hast presented us this book, a commentary on things past and present and things to come. And we are thankful that the truth that it contains is from heaven itself. We pray, our God, that we shall understand this and we shall receive it as such. Your Son was sent from heaven, and he told us again and again, the words that I speak are not my own words, but they are the words that my Father has taught me. So let us consider the words that he spoke this morning as being the words that his Father gave him to speak to those men who were around him. We pray that thou shalt by thy Spirit speak to us this morning as well. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If the Lord Jesus were told of your death, what comment would he make? You say, well, since the Savior is compassionate and merciful, he would speak words of comfort, encouragement, strength. But that answer is wrong. The Lord Jesus would speak the precise words that were true and necessary concerning you and your death. What happens is this. We are all prepared when someone speaks of a calamity to comfort them, to encourage them, to give them hope. The Lord Jesus was never that way. If the person who died, if he were deserving of praise, he would give praise. If he were deserving of condemnation, even though he had died, he would not speak respectfully of the dead. He would speak the truth. And that is why I ask you this morning, if Christ were told of your death, if you had died this day, and Christ were told of your death, what comment would he make? In the portion that I read to you, some people had volunteered information about Galileans, and remember, our Savior was from Galilee, Galileans whom Pilate had slain, and while they were offering sacrifices at the altar, the blood of the sacrifices was mingled with their blood. And what is so excellent about the comment of the Lord Jesus Christ is that if you ever volunteered information to him, beware, because he, by the intonation of your voice, by the way that you expressed the information that you gave him, he would search out your heart and not only tell you about the one of whom you spoke, but he would tell you about yourself as well. Now, I would never have known it, but when these came and told him about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, they said it in such a way that they insinuated that these Galileans were sinners and that they deserved to be slain by Pilate. What happened to them was their just desert. The Lord Jesus understood that. That's why he answered this way. They told him about the death of those Galileans, and he said, "Do you think that those Galileans whom Pilate slew mingled their blood with their own sacrifices? Do you think that they were sinners above all the sinners from Galilee?" He said, "I tell you no." Understand this, that Christ, even though these Galileans, his countrymen, had been slain, he did not speak one word of comfort concerning them. And having told the truth concerning them, he turned on his informers and he said this, "Do you think that they were sinners above all the Galileans?" He said, "I tell you this, that unless you repent, you shall all in like manner perish." Now, this is illumination from heaven. First of all, if they had been good men, righteous men, Christ would have said that. But he did not say it because he could not say it. The comments that Christ makes when he's told of people's death, their impending death, are comments like these. Concerning Judas Iscariot, the Savior said these horrible words, "It were good for that man if he had never been born." He said concerning Lazarus, he said concerning him that Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Isn't that beautiful? One man dies, and he says, "It is good if that man had never been born." And concerning another man, he says, "He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." There was another rich man who died, and Christ said this, "In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." And concerning Abel, the first righteous man upon the earth, the Lord Jesus said, "The death of righteous Abel." And so whenever a man dies, before he stands before the judgment seat and is evaluated as to what his spiritual condition is and as to whether he is worthy to be accepted into heaven. Before then, the Lord Jesus already knows, and the comment that he makes tells you in advance concerning that man's destiny. And this is what he said concerning those who are offering sacrifices in the place that God had placed his name, at the altar that God had given Moses the pattern as to how to build it. He says concerning them that they were sinners and they needed repentance. And he said, and you who are telling me about these Galileans, you need repentance as well. How remarkable. I could certainly think this, that if I were a descendant of Abraham, if I were worshiping God in Jerusalem at the altar that he had ordained, as God had told it should be done, I think that at least I should be pronounced a good man, a righteous man. But what the Savior is telling us is this, that the world is filled with people who have the right descendants, and also they are doing the right things, but they are still not born again. They need repentance. And other people who tell about them and what happened to them, they are worse sinners than the ones that they are talking about. And so this is what I discover, that what you think when a calamity happens means nothing. What is the basis of the comment you make when a man dies, when a calamity falls? Who told you? The Lord Jesus could say, I speak the words that my Father told me. So when he speaks of Abel in the Old Testament, he says Abel was righteous. When he speaks of Zechariah, he says Zechariah, the righteous. And also when he speaks of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, he says, your brother will rise again. He gives comfort, he gives hope, or he gives condemnation according to the spiritual condition of each individual. And that is why I would like to know what God would say concerning you if your death were announced today. Would he hold out any hope? Or would he simply say, even though this man died while he was at the altar offering sacrifice, he was a sinner, an unrepentant sinner. And there is a place that's specially described as Judas Iscariot's own place. But his own place, in a special way, is the place of all men who have not repented and been born again. This is what God is trying to tell you, and you haven't understood it yet. It is this, that you can point back to who your ancestors were, and if they were religious and had names that ought to be praised, it means nothing to Christ. And at the same time, if you can say, I know what offerings I am to give unto God, and I know the proper place to offer those sacrifices to God, it means nothing to God unless you have been born again. How is it that some descended from Abraham in the right religion, offering the same sacrifices, still need to repent? It shows that the world is filled with people that are deceived, who think that some outward thing without an inward change can result in acceptance with God and with salvation. But such a thing is a delusion of Satan. This is why Christ said to them, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. And then, this is what is so pertinent. How things that happened so long ago, we read of them, and it frightens us because of things that happen today. The Lord Jesus said, and that tower in Siloam that fell on 18 men and killed them. You think that they were sinners above all sinners that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. Now, how can this be? That there was a tower in Jerusalem, the Tower of Siloam, that some 2,000 years ago fell upon men unexpectedly and killed them. And need I tell you about the towers that fell upon men a few weeks ago and killed them? And what happens is this, that you and I dare not speak the truth when such a calamity as that happened in New York City. We dare not speak the way that Christ did. But this is what he said. Those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, do you think that they were sinners above all sinners that dwell in Jerusalem? He said, I tell you, nay. The Lord Jesus did not give them any hope if they were sinners. If they were righteous, he would give them hope. But he said, they are sinners. And he said, and I want you to understand that you are going to perish in like manner as they unless you repent. And so as much as I desire from my heart to tell you that all of those who perish in New York City, they were martyrs, and immediately they will be transported into heaven, into the arms of Jesus, the Savior would never say such a thing. If they happened to be a Lazarus, yes. If they happened to be an Abel, yes. If they happened to be a Stephen, yes. But if they happened to be unrepentant sinners, they perished, and there is no hope for them this day. You see, the Lord Jesus is not one who lies. One of the compliments that was given to him was this. They said, Teacher, we know that you are true, that you speak the word of God in truth, and you respect no man. Tell us. And the Lord Jesus always taught men that way. He tells the truth. He speaks the way of God in truth. And also, he wants to respect no man. And so if a man who has insulted him, as Nathanael did, when Nathanael was told of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, you come and see. And when the Lord Jesus saw Nathanael, who had insulted him as to his origin, the Lord Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You see the truth of the Lord Jesus. No matter how you appear outwardly, he looks upon the heart and he knows the true condition of your soul. And here are those that apparently are righteous, they are correct, they are doing what God would want them to do, and the Lord Jesus says, they have never repented. Now, I want you to examine your heart this morning. If these men who were offering the sacrifices in Jerusalem could have those credentials, they are descendants of Abraham, they are following the right religion, they are worshiping God, and the Lord Jesus said, they are sinners and they need to repent. What hope do you have? You do not worship God. You are not in the right religion. You are not doing the things that are pleasing to God. And yet, if you died all your friends and if you got the proper preacher, he would speak and get you into heaven, tell you that the life that you lived was acceptable and God was pleased, and the gates are thrown open, and now you've gone into heaven. And the Lord Jesus would say, you're a sinner. And the people that are telling me about you who died, they are sinners as well. And unless they repent, they are going to perish the way that you perish. This is the strength and this is the solemnity of the comments that Jesus Christ makes when people speak of their death. For this reason, I say when he speaks of them in their death, because as long as you're alive, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you hope. He speaks a parable about a father who had two sons. And the father went to the first son, and he said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son said to him, I will not. But it says afterward, he repented and went. That is hope. And the other son he went to, and he said, Go work today in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. But he did not go. The Lord Jesus said, Which of them did the will of the Father? They said, Why, the first one who said he wasn't going to go. But he repented, and he did go. You see? Whatever you have said to God, the life that you have lived that denies the demands of God upon you, it does not mean that you are condemned, because it says, Afterward, he repented. That is what repentance is. Repentance is an afterthought. It is an after emotion. It is something that after you have considered all that is involved, you change your mind, you change the feeling of your heart, and you do in a different way the way that you were doing before. And this is what Christ, when he condemns these people that are talking to him, even though he condemns them, he gives them hope. He said, You shall in like manner perish except you repent. And so for those who were slain by the sword of Pilate, there's no chance of repentance. But those that were telling him about being slain by Pilate, he said, Except you repent, there is hope. And in like manner, those upon whom the tower fell, what their spiritual condition was when the tower fell upon them and killed them, that was their destiny. But he said, You, whom I am telling about that tower, you can repent. Unless you repent, you shall in like manner perish. And so there is the opening for all who are sinners, and some are big sinners and some are little sinners. Some are great sinners and some are lesser sinners. Christ says that. You think that unless you are one who has broken all the Ten Commandments, you are not a sinner. Because you have never murdered, you are not a sinner. Because you have never blasphemed God, because you've never worshipped idols, that you are not a great sinner. No, but you have committed adultery. You have had covetous thoughts. You have lusted in your heart, and you are a sinner, but you may be a lesser sinner. And the Lord Jesus speaks of great sinners, and he speaks of lesser sinners. And he says, But unless you repent, you shall in like manner perish. And so this is what he's telling you. If you think that somehow God is going to accept you into heaven because you are a little sinner, he says, the little sinners perished. He tells you that if you are a little sinner or a big sinner, and this is the hope, there are greater sinners. He said, if they repent, they shall not perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what God is telling us, that as long as you have hope, there is life and hope and eternal destiny that is in the power of your hand. The Savior says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and be saved. And so this is why, with all of your hypocrisy, with all of your self-satisfaction and conceit, and you can go and tell about all the tragedies that happened to other people, these sinners that were offering sacrifices, how great sinners they were because the judgment of God fell upon them. The Lord Jesus would cut you short and say, Unless you repent, you shall in like manner perish. This is what our Savior tells us about his comments and your comments. Their comment concerning these Galileans was a false comment. It was correct in that they thought that they were sinners, but not that they were the greatest sinners of all the sinners in Galilee. Not at all. The Lord Jesus said, yes, they were sinners, but they thought wrong. Now, in like manner, and God forgive us, the very apostles had that same condemnation of judgment when they saw a man that had been born blind. In John 9, the Savior and his apostles are passing by, and they see a man who was born blind, and this is what the apostles say, Teacher, who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his parents, or did he personally sin? Is that why he was born blind? They did not ask, why was he born blind? But they said, either he has sinned, or his parents have sinned. That is why he was born blind. And the Lord Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents that he was born blind, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. Do you see the mistake that you make? That is why, when you are commenting on what happened concerning the tower that happened recently that fell, whatever comment you make, you be sure that that comment is Christ's comment. What comment would Christ make? Some, with heartlessness, would say, why, they were sinners above all sinners. That is why they were destroyed when that tower fell. Only the Lord Jesus knows that. Some in those towers were probably lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some were godless, and some were those that were alienated from the Father in heaven. But only the Lord Jesus knows that. And we can sympathize with all of those who lost loved ones, as the Lord Jesus sympathized when he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. He saw Jerusalem and he wept over it, and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. And when he wept over Jerusalem, he said, if you had known even in this thy day the things that belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And the Lord Jesus will weep. And the Lord Jesus will have his heart to ache because of what's going to happen to you. But the Lord Jesus will not say it is not going to happen to you. That's what Simon Peter did. When the Lord Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem, I have to be rejected of the elders and crucified. And Peter took him aside and said, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall never be unto thee. And the Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou mindest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And that is why the comments you make, when a person that is sick, you say, well, I think that person is sick because of some sin that he committed. It may well be. It may well not be. It depends upon the decision and the judgment and the comment that Christ makes, not what you think. I told you what the apostles said, and they were wrong. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord Jesus said, neither one. You are wrong. He was born blind that the works of God might be manifest in him. But now, concerning another, the man that was impotent in John 5 at the pool, and the Lord Jesus went to him and said, do you want to be made whole? And the man said, Lord, I have no man when the waters are troubled to cast me into the waters, but while I am going down, another steppeth in before me. And the Lord Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And afterward he found him in the temple. How commendable that when he was afflicted and impotent, he was hoping to be healed. But when God in his grace strengthened him, with that strength, he went to the temple. And listen to the comment that Christ made. He said, behold, you are made whole. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. The Lord Jesus told that man that he had been afflicted for 38 years because of a sin that he had committed. Yes, some are afflicted because of their sins, but only the Lord Jesus knows about that. Unless it happens to be an Ananias and Sapphira who lie to the Spirit of God and the judgment of God immediately falls upon them. Yes, then you can say that they sinned, and it was the immediate judgment of God. But other than that, you do not know why calamities come upon man. Listen to what Eliphaz, this friend of Job, said eventually concerning Job. Here is Job in that miserable condition, covered with boils, scraping himself with a potsherd. And finally, Eliphaz says this. He says, "Your wickedness is beyond measure." He said, "You had taken pledges from widows. When people were thirsty, you gave them no water. And when they were hungry, you sent them away empty." Saying that concerning Job, and what God in heaven had said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's not a man like him in all the earth?" And yet his own friends were misjudging him. Because this suffering has happened to you, it's because of sin in your life. It wasn't because of Job's sin. It was because of his righteousness that all of these sufferings fell upon him. Now, concerning judgments upon nations, I can tell you some that come. You see, when I tell you what the Savior said, you have no ground contradicting what I say. But it says two things. In Matthew 21 and in Matthew 22, our Savior speaks about a wedding that a king has arranged for his son. And he speaks also a parable about a vineyard to which the owner sent one after another to collect the fruits that were his because he owned the vineyard. And in those two, it says both the messengers that were sent, they were killed. And it says, finally, "I have a son, a beloved son. I will send him." And it said, when they saw the son, they said, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." And this is what it says. It says concerning the first, that when they did this outrageous treatment of the servants that he sent, inviting them to the wedding of the son, it says the king was wrath, filled with wrath, and it says he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now, can you interpret that? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God, at the last, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And they said, "This is the heir, we'll kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." And then he asked them, "What will the owner of the vineyard do when he comes?" And they said, "He will miserably destroy those miserable sinners and let out the vineyard to those that will bring forth the fruit in season." He said, "You've said it. That's exactly what God is going to do." And the Lord Jesus said that God was filled with wrath when he saw the treatment of his servants and also of his son. And it says he sent his armies. And you understand that God's armies, or whatever army he takes in his hand to spread the affliction upon the guilty nation that deserves it. And so, whether it's the Roman army, the hated enemy of Israel, God says, "It's my army." He sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned their city. And so there's no doubt about that. But concerning our towers in New York, I do not know, and I'm not going to interpret it, but I know this. I know that God says righteousness exalteth a nation, and I know what happens when a nation sins. God tells us about conditions in Genesis 6, and then he tells us about conditions concerning Sodom, also in the book of Genesis, and concerning men after he had created man, early in the history of man. It said, "And God saw the violence that was in the earth, that it was great. And he said, every imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually. And God said, I'm putting an end to man. It repents me that I ever made man." And so God says, "I'm going to destroy them because of their sin." In like manner, when the cry of Sodom ascended to heaven, God said, "I will go down and I will see whether what I hear is true." And he went down personally, but he also sent angels. And so wicked was this city that the Sodomites in that city, when they saw the angels, went to Lot's home and were going to break the door down to take these men and commit sodomy with them. And God smote them with blindness. And God said, I know what the condition of that city is. And he rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon them. And so God knew. And so I find that if this nation now that is condoning sodomy, making laws, and also making it acceptable, and you can say nothing against me if I am a sodomite, or if I am a homosexual of any kind, you can say nothing about it, you must accept it. God says, I will not accept it. I will destroy this city. And also unborn children, the murder of them. And also wickedness and violence and crime and blasphemy and godlessness. All of these things God is aware of. But God is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish. And the difference is this. When God sent judgment upon Sodom, it was not one locality, though the judgment was great. He destroyed the city in its entirety. And so thank God, if this is the judgment of God because of our sins, just as he said to the living that remain, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. So this is what God would say to us today. And I see America going through the motions. God bless America. Go to church. Have special vigils. Oh, all of these religious things are taking place in their lives, but it does not mean that they have truly repented. You must be born again. You must, as a sinner, present yourself to God and say, I deserve what they deserve, but by your grace, I'm trusting that your Son died for me upon the cross. Lord, I want to be spiritually reborn. I want you to give me a new heart. That is what I want to be done. And then, if that happens, as it happened in Nineveh, when Jonah went and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And it said they repented from the king to the maid that ground at the meal. And they repented in sackcloth. And he proclaimed a fast. And every one of them acknowledged that they were sinners and that the judgment of God that was going to fall was true. And it said God repented. And so I hope that that is what shall happen to us. A warning given. A great blow has fallen upon us. But we are still alive. And the Lord says to us, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. By God's grace, may all of us repent. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown to us as individuals and as a nation. Let us know that what you want is for us to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But our Father, we are quite satisfied with bringing a little religion into our life and going through motions of worship which are not acceptable in the sight of your Son, except you repent. And so we pray that we shall understand that what you want us to become is a miracle that must take place by the Spirit of God. We must be born again. And so let us not trust in religion and religious practices and good deeds, thinking they will take us to heaven. But let us trust in the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of God to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Indeed, Father, we pray, God bless America and help us as Americans to repent, that when that time comes for us to die, that the Lord Jesus shall say, this was a righteous man, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.